My name's Wendy Payne and I'm a project officer with NAC, the Northern Agricultural Catchment Council. And the reason why I brought us here this morning to have a little look around is because it's probably one of the best examples of what you can do with a little bit of information in terms of creating the most amazing native garden Eden around us. And it's that little bit of information that we've put together in a couple of great new native garden guides that NAC's producing.
So we've got a lot of colour and we've also got a lot of native birds. Why is this? How come birds don't come and hang out in my garden?
Depends what you've got in your garden. The reason why the birds are here is because over millions of years in Australia, what you find is the animals and the plants interact and they find ways of getting along together. And so what you're doing when you're planting native gardens is you're providing habitat and food for the animals that live here naturally. So the animals that live here naturally and that I've seen in and around this garden, we've got lizards and frogs all over the place in the garden here. So many different birds I can hardly describe. We've got a tiny little bird bath in front of us. It's not very big, but it's like the League of Nations every morning over there. There's so many different birds all trying to share it at once. One of the things or the differences between insects and birds is they actually see different stuff. So birds see much, much better at the red end of the spectrum. So if a plant is trying to encourage in the birds, what it's going to do is give a bright, bright colour, red or orange, so that the birds can see it. Okay, insects see much, much better at the blue end of the spectrum. So this bright orange grevillea here is bird pollinated. We know that because it's a big flower, it's bright orange. And in actual fact, what it's also doing, to give the birds a reason to come back, it's producing lots and lots of nectar. So plant these and you have the birds coming for miles. And behind it, we can also see, off in the air there is about a 5 or 6 metre high eucalypt. This eucalypt is beautiful, pendulous, gorgeous leaves dangling down. And it's absolutely covered in bright pinky reddish blossom. Looks a little bit like the gumnut baby's blossoms all over it. And I don't know if you can hear, in the background, it's covered in birds as well. So because it's a bright reddish colour flower, all the birds can see that really, really well. And they're just coming for miles to have a good drink of the nectar that plant's actually producing. So this plant in front of us has a really good story to tell. What we're looking at is the white-plumed grevillea. This one gets called Smelly Socks. And the reason why this one gets called Smelly Socks is when those buds open, they're a big, beautiful white grevillea. They look simply spectacular and they smell simply awful. And so what happens with this particular plant, it looks great during the day, but just on dusk, around about September when these flowers open, on dusk, you'll find this really strong smell. It's quite sweet, sickly sweet, and it really does smell like old mouldy socks. And what that does is it invites in all of its pollinators, and those moths and scarab beetles will come from miles to find this flower and get a little bit of nectar and pollinate it in the process.
So you might not want to plant this one next to your front door.
Well, it depends. Some people think it smells really bad. I'm actually one of the strange people who thinks it smells really nice. And to me, Smelly Socks is the sign that spring is here and summer's coming. It's a beautiful thing. And when it's actually in flower, it's one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. Any of you who've been up to Kalbarri and driven along through the national park on either side, you'll see this bush flowering like mad in September, October. And the laneway or the driveway is just lined with big white flowers. It really is quite magic to look at if you can stand the smell. We're wending our way along a whole series of little trails that have been put in here so we can enjoy the gorgeous natural environment that's been created here. And oh, here we go, off to the right here. It's not flowering yet, but we have a conospermum bush, or smoke bush. Now, everybody's seen smoke bush before. It's the most spectacular thing. When this thing flowers, you can see what honestly looks like just a big splodge of smoke off in the distance. And the smoke bush has an interesting relationship with Australian native bees. In fact, it's got an interesting relationship with only one or two native bees. And if it doesn't have those native bees, it can flower and flower and flower every year and look spectacular and achieve nothing. It won't actually get pollinated. And the reason for that is the bee that pollinates this one, it's actually called the Conospermum bee, they've got such an intricate relationship. It's a tiny, weeny little white native bee. Now, we all think of bees as those feral ones that come from Europe that produce honey. In Australia, we don't need those bees because we've got 2,000 species of our own native bees. Now, one of those does the pollination job for this plant here, and the bee is tiny enough to be able to crawl into that smoke bush flower. And when he crawls in, the style snaps down on that tiny little bee and daubs him with a little bit of glue. And at the same time, the pollen anthers explode in this little shower of pollen. But that's okay, because that's food for him. That's what he goes there for. Cleans himself off, goes along to the next bush. Exactly the same thing happens. So that's how he manages to pollinate this one. And our feral bees that produce the honey, if you see them visiting, they're not actually achieving anything for the plant. They're not actually managing to get any pollination. You actually need to have that Conospermum bee. So it just gives you a bit of a feel for some of the intricate relationships between native plants and native animals in Australia. So that's our beautiful smoke bush. Behind us over here, we've got another Banksia. So we often think with Banksias of those beautiful orange and gorgeous colours that you get with Banksias, but this one's actually quite a dull colour. And there's actually a very good reason why this one's a dull colour, is because it's most likely going to be pollinated by native marsupials. So we've got tiny, weeny little honey possums that are very, very hard to see, mostly because they only come out at night. They're nocturnal. And so this one will be pollinated by a nocturnal, probably honey possum. And the thing is that nocturnal animals aren't going to see in colour, okay? So what they actually see at night time, they see very well at night time, but all they see is black and white. So this plant isn't going to bother going to all the trouble of putting a beautiful colour in its flowers if it's only going to be pollinated by a tiny little marsupial that comes out at night and isn't going to see that colour. So what happens is your tiny weeny little honey possum's got a great long nose with little tiny hairs on the end, pops his nose into the end of those Banksia flowers, and what we're looking at here is not one flower, but this whole Banksia cone is hundreds of tiny little flowers all together. And when he sticks his nose in there, he winds up with pollen all over those little whiskers. And so by moving from flower to flower, he's actually not only getting a feed for himself, but he's actually moving the pollen around and helping this plant to pollinate. So that's how Banksia is.